Hi, I am Coach Emilio. Welcome to the Escuela del Sur. If you are a sports coach, do you want to find more freedom in your decisions and opportunities and find solutions in the day-to-day work of your profession? This podcast is for you. I will tell you from my experience as a coach in Dubai and interviews with coaches around the world, the habits, techniques, valuable background, and tools that can guide you and give you more results with less effort. I invite you to give your coaching career more possibilities and confidence in the competitive world of sport. Listen to our episode to get ideas to optimize your professional profile with continuous improvement, so you can get more results, improving your quality of life along with your profession and your passion. We start. Welcome to World Gymnastic Coaches, this podcast by Escuela del Sur. We are with an incredible coach from Brazil, Rio de Janeiro, Renata Valente. Welcome.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for accepting this interview. Special guest from Flamengo. I was so happy to visit you in your club because I saw an amazing, incredible job between your four of the coaches there. You, Valmi, also Jorge. We have also Angelo, Daniela Antunes. People doing an incredible job, but also a hard work.
Yes, very hard work. We have a lot of girls. And we have a responsibility to fill the national team with new gymnasts. So it's a lot of hard work. There's no other way.
And also is one of the more successful team now in Brazil.
Yes, we've been having good results in national competitions. Also because we have a lot of girls, so we can have a team in each category. So that's very good.
Perfect. How is going on your weeks now with this training camp and the national?
Yes, I've been to the second national training camp with the young girls, like from 14, 15 years old. It was very good, very nice. We had advice from the national team coaches, from the seniors, to some things to improve. And we're selecting a team to Giosolo competition in Italy. It's a traditional competition. Brazil is always there. So they are planning to take also the young girls. So we were there to try to do our best to assemble the best team possible to compete in Giosolo, which is a very strong competition. I think every country that hosts an Olympic Games have a lot of investments, like not only in money, but also in knowledge and coaches. So we had Alexandrov came here to 2016 cycle. And later there was Valery Lyukin. Before that, there was Oleg Ostapenko. So the national team coaches had a lot of knowledge, a lot of experience with these coaches, who I think were the best coaches there ever was. So some of them built the some techniques. So they were very lucky to work with them. And that together with the financial investments in infrastructure, a great gym, a lot of physical therapists and doctors and everything else. So I think that's one big key to Brazil's success nowadays.
Now the question is who you are.
Well, I'm a coach. I'm 38 years old. I started coaching when I was in college here. I think it was 2007. I started to do an internship at Flamengo. I stayed there for 3 years, and I was very lucky to get this internship because at college in a class, the teacher said, the professor said, "Oh, they need an intern in Flamengo," and like nobody gave too much attention, and was like, I want. So I went there, and I started working with recreational classes, but I was always looking at the team, at the girls who trained actual athletes. I was always looking at what the coach was telling them, because I really wanted to learn. And one of the coaches, like, was the head coach, Ricardo. He looked at me, he noticed I was looking at them, and he was like, "Oh, do you want to be a coach?" And I was like, "Yes." And he said, "So you don't have to be with the recreational team, you have to be with the actual team. Come here." Then he put me with the girls who were like 12 years old. So I was watching the coach, their coach, coach them, give them the cues and corrections and everything. And I stayed there for 3 years. And then I graduated from college. I started working at a smaller club. I had a smaller gym, fewer girls, but it was a good place because I could actually do the job I believed in. I had autonomy to do whatever I wanted. So I could try new things. I could practice being a coach for my own, not just being an assistant coach. So that was a very important time of the my life. I think I developed myself very much as a coach there. I stayed there for a few years up to 2015. I had a gymnast who was very good at bars. So she was invited to train with the national team, the senior national team by Alexandra. And she was a junior, but her bars were senior level, was very good. So she trained that during 2016 preparation. And after in 2016, I went to another club that had a better structure, was bigger, and had a lot of physical therapy and doctors and everything. So we stayed there for a year and a half, and then I went to Flamengo. And that was a challenge because it was a big club, and now I wasn't an assistant coach, I was the coach. So we had a summer with the girls who were seniors from 2016, and they were tired and a lot because they had trained a lot. So it was a big challenge. And then we started to work with there was a team with the young girls. They were like 7, 8 years old. And I had to work with them too. Also, and they said, "Oh, you have to work with this team too because they don't have a coach." So I looked at the team and I said, "Wow, these girls are very good. They have many really good qualities." So I started working with them, and I said, "No, this is the team where we can show our work, when we can actually get results." So that's the team who is the junior national team now. They were 8 years old, now they're 15, and I've been working with them ever since. It's been very nice.
Wow, how many days a week the girls train in Flamengo?
They train 6 days a week. Some days 4 hours a day, some other days.
Double session, no? Yeah. And they have a massage team, physio, palestra,
Yeah.
like the gym.
They have a good structure there in Flamengo. They have
Yeah.
everything.
How you build this commitment? How what happened in Flamengo? The coaches are very commit each other, supportive and respectful with each other, because I saw that.
Yeah, I can't explain that. Somebody asked me this the other day, like, "How do you work so well in a team?" I don't know. We were friends. Angelo is my ex-husband, so I know him for a million years. We've been working together since 2012, I think. So we have a very good chemistry in this sense, you know, of I know what kind of help he needs. He knows what kind of help I need. So I know how he thinks, he knows how I think. So we work very well together. Daniela also, we've been her intern. And so we know her for ages. So we are also friends. And the three of us come from the same line of work because we all learned everything in Flamengo. So we work in a similar way. And Valmi was one of my best friends ever since he was like 15, 14, I don't know. So when he came to Flamengo, I was very happy. And that's it. We are friends first before being colleagues, I think. So we have our differences of how we teach a thing or two, but we never let that be the main thing, you know. We don't let that get in the way of our relationship. We try to respect the work of the other one because we trust the other one will do what's best for the team.
Flamengo changed the system for one coach per apparatus.
Yes.
So what is because this is American system in US, a lot of clubs use this way. My question is, how many categories and how you divide this between apparatuses? Because I saw you give advices, the girls pass in the apparatus and they do in the routine or the difficulty or the element with it. The same coach with different groups.
Yes, the main groups, like the best girls in the gym, are 17 girls, between 10 and 16 years old. So there are four categories, like to training together. So we divide these girls in four groups, and they pass through the apparatus. They spend 30 minutes in each apparatus and then the switch. And we coaches used to switch apparatus too. I was on vault on Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday, I think. And then on the other days I was on beam. But that was very difficult because I couldn't follow a line of thoughts on the apparatus, in any apparatus, because even though we try to work together, there are a little some difference between coaches. So in one day I said one thing, and on the other day the other coaches said something else. I focused on one thing, then the other coaches focus on something else. And I didn't know what the girl did yesterday. So to give her an assignment for today was difficult too. So and now the girls are doing more difficult skills. They are doing double backs of beam, and they're vaulting Yurchenko double full. So it's very difficult to try to make this kind of gymnastics in the system where they don't have one person saying every day the same thing to them. So this year we're trying this. So I stayed on vault, which I really like vault. And I think it's sometimes a little more tiring because you do every day the same thing, only one thing. But in this format where everybody coaches everybody, I think this is the best way because at least I can have a clear work on both. So.
I look how you prepare this system is the paradigm is the privilege for the gymnast because the gymnasts have four coaches.
Yes.
It's like eight is four brains, eight eyes look at you and give you feedback because one coach is like I saw in a lot of part of the world is one coach is the owner of the group and you go wherever you go with your gymnast. But now it's like The four coaches represent these gymnasts. This is different. It's a different approach.
Yes, yeah, it's very different. But we are making it work any way we can now. Meanwhile.
So you say the your favorite one is Bolt.
Yes, I really like Bolt.
Yeah, Yurchenko's. And what is
Yes.
it, the apparatus you don't like to teach a lot, or the small?
I didn't like Bolt. I thought it was the most difficult one because it's very fast. But since I had to stay on Vault on the other years, like last year, and it's very important for a national team to have double fulls. And Chico, the national team coach, he always asked us, where are the double fulls, right? And so I committed myself to say, no, I'm going to try to teach the double fulls. And we actually did it, like in that, yeah, last year the junior nationals, one of our girls did a double full, and it was such a great feeling of accomplishment, you know, as actually making a difference, because the other apparatus I was beam, and beam is pretty much the same, there's no big difference, you know, but there's a big difference if a girl vaults a full twist or a double full. That's big difference.
Yeah, now Brazil start to have an amazing representing a woman artistic gymnastic with Flavia, Jade, Rebecca, then doing Cheng. Then now Rebecca is also do Amanar
Yeah.
in the training center. So she start to compete with the difficulty with the best of the world.
Yes, and Chico also helped me a lot with the technique. He gave me tips. I can ask him, how do you think I should train this? And he was like, show me a bunch of videos of Rebecca training. How did she, how was the progression to her skills? And that's a big privilege, I think, to be to have tips from the best coach in the world.
So great. Renata, I say Renata, what is your philosophy of coaching? What is important for you when you provide gymnastics to your gymnast?
I think it's important that they like what they do, they are doing. They like to be there, you know, they feel respected, and that they want to do gymnastics. I think it has to be a good environment all together, because gymnastics culture was very very sad, very stressful place, you know, it was a result above everything. So I think us younger coaches, we have to help bring this new look to gymnastics. Gymnastics has to be a good place for them. They can't be people who suffer the entire time, are angry all the time. They have to be happy where they are, because it's the biggest part of their life, their lives.
The center of all. If they feel good, they can perform.
Yes, absolutely. If they believe in the work, if they know why they're going through all that, they understand that, I think it's a lot more bearable. They can support, they can stand the all the struggles a lot better. So because it's difficult, you can't deny it. Training is difficult, not only gymnastics, any sport. High level training is very difficult. But I think the gymnast has to understand, so she can live better with that. You know, we can't be in position. You have to do 10 reps. You have to do that anyway. You know, you have to do this because you make it better. You have to stretch your legs because you're gonna make it better. Gymnastics, I think everything has to be explained. They have to, that's how they can live better with the sport and be happier in there. So.
I want to ask you more technical things. Some courses in the Brazilian Olympic Committee,
Yes, I took the course at 2 years.
How was this experience? Who was your teammates? Because I understand it was different disciplines.
Yes, it's very broad course. There was disciplines about everything that concerns sports, like physiology and pedagogic uses, and even in a bigger prospects, not only specific. It was very interesting because we had contacted with our classmates were people from other sports too, as athletics and swimming. So we could see the perspective from other sports too, and you can start thinking about your sport in a broader prospect. So it was very cool to be a part of it.
So there you find some coaches like Valery Lukin.
Yes, there was practical specific lessons, like blocks from learning, and then it was only people from your sport. So we had classes with Oleg Ostapenko, Irina, Nilson Savage, who was a Brazilian, but he coached Jessica Lopez, who was a Olympic finalist. So it was really cool because we got to ask questions as many as we wanted, and they could explain everything. I think nobody ever had a class with Oleg Ostapenko. I think it was our bigger chance, exclusive, because and it was very, very cool. We could see things from a different light. They told stories from when they were young and from Soviet Union, from when they were building gymnastics. So it was very, very interesting.
Yeah, I saw some of the influence of this knowledge you receive with also your teammates was about the handstands, the courbettes, because Valery Lugin went passing these courses. Also, Valmy mentioned in another podcast about how they tried to apply a system was not exactly for senior gymnasts like in US, but the technical things they have a lot influence in Brazil about these courbettes, how that you work everything like very close to increase the energy.
Yes.
How you define this technique or this idea, or why is the reason Flamengo work this way of gymnastics?
Valerie came, I think it was 2019. It was a different course, was a little more turned to, it was exclusive for gymnastics, and it was turned to, they chose all the coaches who worked with high level gymnastics, and they invited to this course. And he explained the principle in which he believes gymnastics works with, which is by closing and opening the body. Everything works like this in bars, in floor. Everything is about closing very much and to create rotation. So this changing the shapes of they. You can really control your speed with and your directions in the tumbling skills, so or in bars, so you can create movement in a more controlled way. So when I went to this course, my athletes were 10 years old, so they were learning the skills, and I started applying, and I saw this really big difference. They understood it very easily. They were kids, so sometimes it's difficult to understand. They understood it right away, and it started to change, especially floor. Everything became easier. I had a lot of trouble with girls. They didn't go up in the somersaults. They always went backwards. So, with this, they got to control their snap. So, it was very easy to understand, and it gave a really good result. So I think that those are the strong points of this technique.
We want to make a special announcement. We have new sponsor from FVQ's 3D Gym, an app developed from Wales and France, where you can find three apps, 3D Gym Woman, 3D Gym Men, and Trampoline. All information is available on Instagram and also on the website fvcubes.com. We also want to thank eGymnastic from Germany by Flavio Bessi, where you can find all the information about their new educational platform learning, gymnastic courses for all the coaches around the world. Thank you very much.
So, okay, what about one of your passion in gymnastics is about the strength conditioning? First talk about this. I want to ask you, what is your opinion of dosify, or how are you doing with your girls? Because we can talk a lot about this, because no one have the truth about how to planning and the microcycles for the doses of strength conditioning. I feel the way how Brazil now start to doing the gymnastic is for resist or be safe with the numbers of skills you need to perform. So for that, you need to be strong. So if you don't have a good strength conditioning, you can be injured because the doses of training, for example, in Flamengo, the beam, the floor, the tumbling on the track, bars, well, bars have only the dismount, but I feel your work with the strength conditioning in Flamengo have something very interesting about how to prepare the girls for the future. What do you think about this?
I think this is a new tendency, like worldwide, as I see. I've always, since I was from, I graduated college and I went to work at the smaller club. And ever since then, I always believed that it was important for them to be strong. At first, I thought it was important so they could perform well, so they could jump higher and everything like this. But as they got older and the skills got harder, I could see the importance of them being able to hold the load of training, the training load, the landings, and even the number of repetitions they have to do. How to hold their body in the positions correctly. Because if they are not strong, if they do a double somersault, they won't be able to hold their body when they land. So I saw more and more how important that is. The national team, the seniors, they do a lot of conditioning, but it's on the machines, like on the actual gym, not gymnastics gym, but the low gym with weights and everything. And they do like every day, there are a specific professional to do this. So he takes skills and translates into heavy work, like in the gym, you know? So I also heard from other gymnasts, Ellie Black, she does a lot of loading. And she's super powerful and she doesn't get hurt as often. So she says she feels better with all this work, this physical preparation. So I think nowadays I can't live without very good physical preparation, so the gymnasts can perform well and they can take the training to try and experiment with the ideas I have, things that I need to improve with the girls. Like now it's harder because there are so many different levels training at the same time, but when I had a smaller group, I took like a skill they were learning. I remember this one very specifically. They were learning pirouettes at the bar. So they had to learn to stand in one arm. They had to have this strength and this awareness. So I did a lot of exercises in physical preparation that involved being in one arm and transferring your weight to this arm and to the other arm, and holding the body position. And it always pays off. It always gives a good result. So I believe that physical preparation has to be as more specific as possible. It has to be extremely specific. The general physical preparation nowadays we can do at the weights gym with another professional. So in the gym we can do only specific, so we can be more accurate. And I believe that when they're young, when they're just starting the team, when they're like 8 years old, they should do more broad physical preparation, like everything, you know. But as they get older, it has to be more specific, because you can waste too much time. You can tire your athlete. You know, they have so many things to do. So you have to be specific, or they will be too tired to train later. So that's it. That's specificity. That's the key point.
Yes, one of the principle of training, the specificity.
Yeah. For preparation, that's very, very important.
When you're planning your macro, because I show what I'm doing here, and you explain me what are you in there in Brazil, and we have some differences. Mm-hmm. And also I mentioned Flavio, because Flavio told me when he sees so many definition on the Excel, he don't believe too much. I saw Flamengo work in a very practical way, opinion. And the other thing I have to say is you don't have blind points on the training. Every second you use, it's like every single time you're doing something, and when you give the time to rest, they rest. But you use the exactly time to train, exactly for train, and every know what to do. Always the girls, the little one understand how the older one's doing, for example, strength conditioning. But my point is, when you plan in strength conditioning, what way you use? Numbers of repetition, intensity on or and time, how you use this variable in the sum system? How you build this?
Everything is important. I like to these things according to how close you are to the competition or not. So at the beginning of the season, they do a lot of repetitions, a lot of number with easy exercises, not without load, without external load, things that they can do a lot of numbers of, because they have to prepare their body to repeat a lot. The beginning of the year season training usually is like this. You have to do a lot of numbers. So, and as you get close to the competition, you start to slimming this down. So they have to do fewer repetitions, so they can only maintain what they acquired, and they don't get too tired, because they will have to do routines. So they have to save their energy for the routine. The routines are the most important thing at the moment. So I start with a lot of numbers. Then I build like muscle, like pure strength. I take the repetitions to fewer repetitions, but then I add external loads, or something that's difficult for them to do with their body weight, so they can actually build muscles. And then I take off all the load, and then I work power. So it would be more repetitions, sometimes more than one series of these repetitions. And I give an interval, like sometime between the series. And then we work with speed, so they can transform those muscles in powerful muscles. And then we usually enter competitive season, so it'd be as specific as possible. And fewer repetitions, and a faster physical preparation.
So you decrease the time of strength conditioning more close you are to the deadline and more routines.
Yes. When it's like 2 weeks before a competition, it's usually we call competition preparation. It's just like, I don't know, must be like six exercises. So they can do fast. They can do in the competition day. They warm up and then they do this physical preparation. So something fast to warm up that doesn't get them too tired.
In what part of the training plan you put the difficulty to learn something new? Because I can imagine more close to the competition, you just need to prepare the compulsory, but you will perform in the competition. So it's number of routines, for example, you can measure your doses. But in what part you put the new elements?
Usually we try not to train new elements during competition season, because we're afraid that they might get hurt, that doing something they don't really know, and they will miss the competition. So sometimes if it's something really, really important that they learn, like a release on bars or something, we try to work, but very, very little during competition season. Usually we work after competition, like in the transitional phase, or at the beginning of the year, we try to, like, if we have a goal with the girl, like, this year we're going to do, I don't know, a front tuck on beam. So we already start the season by working that along with the other skills she already does. So, and sometimes you make it, sometimes you won't, so...
And you start the strategy for decide how to build the routines depending on the gymnast, or to you can arrive in the best way. Yeah. So Renata, I want to ask you a trending question. Is what do you think about the language of strength conditioning in gymnastics? Because I talked with you before about how we planning with some of theoretical things is not working for our sport.
Yeah.
What is your opinion when you was in the Brazilian Olympic Committee and they to try to give you the knowledge for how to plan in gymnastics, but you understand it's not working for gymnastics because our sport is different?
Yes, it was that in the first course that I mentioned earlier with swimming and athletics, the course I did in the Olympic Committee. So we had a class that was about planning. We had the final assignment was to do a year planning. But it was very clear how to do that in a theoretical form for athletics and swimming, because they worked with percentages, you know? So they had a percentage of the time of how fast they ran. So with how much weight they could throw. How much fast they could swim. So it was very easy to measure them. And in gymnastics, you can't measure anything. It's about the quality, you know. So us in gymnastics, the gymnastics students, coaches who were students, we had a lot of trouble to transform that into gymnastics. So we talked to each other, and some older coaches, they had a system they already worked with. So it was more about the quality, the number of routines they thought it was possible for them to do, and the quality of those routines. But it's really very difficult to plan that in paper. So because you can't put a number like a... Only maybe if you scored every routine, but that's pretty impossible to do. That was very confusing for us. So the conclusion we came to, it was that you can't really measure, but you can use the expression they used very much there is use your good sense, you know, you can have to see your athlete. You're going to plan like she's going to do three routines. Of course, you have to see if they're going doing three good routines. But use your good sense. If she didn't do three good routines, you're not going to make her do 10 routines, you know, till they're. So that was a challenge.
Yeah. I saw so many clubs here in South America. They use the weightlifting technique, bibliography, for measure the numbers of, I don't know, like reps, the repetition, how many repetition they can do in percentage. But in the way of gymnastics, I feel like in my ignorance, I can say how you can measure the cutoff point. It's like, you understand, because we perform for execution and difficulty. So we know the deadlift, we know the gym training we do for the gymnast is for BMO strong, but in the end of the day, when they perform in BMO on Bolt, the relative strength is with the over body weight. So it's so difficult to build muscles, but not to be so bigger, like hypertrophy, because for us, we must to build the gymnast in the way for our expression, our gymnastic is be more light, be more elegant. I don't know. So I am happy to share this with you, and also you share this with us in the podcast, because it's something we take like granted, you know. We have to plan in this way in the microcycle because the books say that. Or we need to plan in this way because everyone on the club doing. But the good thing I saw in yourself when you was in Flamengo was you put in the criticism for why we need to do this.
Yes, our national team coach, Chico, he had a lot of mentors like Lukin and Ostapenko. And I think the time where he had the most success when it was when he used his own knowledge. He used the knowledge he had from his athletes. He knew what was good for them, what worked for them, you know, how many repetitions they can do, they need to do. So because you can't say like, oh, she has to do six bean routines. Okay, maybe Junior needs to be six bean routines. But Rebecca doesn't. She can do like, I don't know, less. And maybe I'm giving an example, you know. You have to know what's good for your athlete, what works for them. There's no recipe. You know, there are ideas. You have to take the ideas and you have to see if that applies to your reality, for your athletes, you know. In this case, you said about being too muscular, like too heavy. I think the athlete needs to be strong enough to do what they need to do. They don't need to have big muscles. They need to be strong. Doesn't have to do with the size of the muscle. No, sometimes they're lean, but they have a lot of power, and that should be the main concern.
Yeah, I'm totally agree. If you can give ideas to the new generation of coaches, what words, variables, or definition you need to keep in mind when you build your planning training? What is the little advice you can provide?
I think you need to listen to older coaches, but you also have to find your way. You have to find the way you believe in, and things they need to have a reason. You know, if somebody tells you you have to do six bean routines, you have to know why. No. So you understand why, and you can adapt that to your reality. If you understand why you have to do something, what the purpose of that number of repetitions of that technique, you know, this whole looking technique of the snaps you said about opening and closing, it only works if you understand the principle, you know, because if somebody comes and says, oh, you have to do the round of like this spiking, And you say, okay, I'll teach them to fight because you said so. But if you don't know why, you won't be able to correct that correctly. You won't be able to direct your gymnast to do what needs to be done. You have to understand so you can actually build something on top of that, you know. So and that you can take the best from each coach and adapt it, create your way to do gymnastics, the way that is better to your gymnasts and to your gym, because everybody has a different reality. You can't do the same training. I can do the same training as the national, the senior team does, as Rebecca and Flavia. It won't work for them because they are younger, they need other things. So you have always to understand why you're doing anything.
So perfect. We have the advice to the coaches. Is the why, looking the why, you're doing the, what do you do?
Yeah, ask them. This camping and another one, Chico was teaching me something about handstands, about the shoulder positioning. And he said it has to be like this. And I couldn't understand exactly why. And I said, so can you show me why? Can you explain better? So I understand, so I can actually correct them. So I can correct them using the same train of thought that he did. Because if I only copy, I only tell them to do this, and maybe I'm gonna be distorting what he said. No, so ask him questions. Ask questions, young coaches.
Perfect. So the advice to the coaches is always ask questions. Why? Why are we doing what we're doing? Amazing. What about the advice to the gymnast? What advice you can give to the gymnast when we can talk about recreational gymnasts and also on high performance gymnasts?
I think whatever you do in your life, it has to be it has to make you happy. So if it doesn't make you happy, there's something wrong, you know. So I think that's important. And also listen to your coaches, because they've been through a lot to get where they are. So they've seen a lot of gymnasts, and they learn from a lot of coaches who've seen even more gymnasts. So they know what they're talking about. So if they tell you to do this, then do this. No, talk to your coach, ask him why, but do what he says, because he wants what's best for you.
Perfect. For one part of the community, also the parents of the gymnast, what advices you can provide to the parents?
I think the big role of the parents is to support the athlete, support their kids. Don't try to coach. Don't fight with them if they didn't do anything, if they didn't do well in a competition. Just support, because there are a lot of people who are doing this, a lot of people who are coaching, a lot of people who are holding them accountable for the results. So what they expect from their parents is just love and support. And that's the most important thing from the parents to do.
Perfect. I have one important question for you, Renata. What, like a coach, what is your dream?
My dream is to go to the Olympics as a coach. I think it would be the toughest dream. But if I'm working the process, if my athlete goes, even though if I don't, I think I'll be very happy anyway. I think I'd like to, because then I'd feel that I went all the way with my athlete. I did a complete job.
Perfect. So we, with the Escuela del Sur, we'll be looking for this succeed. I'm really happy to have the opportunity to talk with you in this professional way in this podcast. I want to tell you thank you, Renata, for being here. Now mention to the listeners,
Podcast, this episode will be in LinkedIn, will be in YouTube and Spotify and Apple Podcasts, so you can find episode because this is like a season with Renata, and probably we will have new coaches from Flamengo. It's not official now. Georgette already had an interview in Spanish. This is the first one in English. And also we invite you if we can do the interview in Spanish, because also the Latin American coaches also, they are very hungry to listen and learn from Brazil, because we have the limit with the language. It's the closest, like Portuguese and Spanish, but Brazil is another continent inside of the continent.
Yes, I'm trying to learn Spanish, but I'm still beginning. So I hope they understand Portuguese.
Amazing. So thank you, Renata, and see you around. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you very much. I'm very honored to be here. I hope I could help in any way. Thank you very much.
Muito obrigado. Bye bye.
Obrigado.
And well, the episode has come to an amazing end. Thank you so much for listening, and we hope to see you next time on the podcast for Coaches of the World, Escuela del Sur. Don't forget to subscribe, give us a 5-star rating, and check out all the episodes available on Apple Podcast, Spotify, Google Podcast, LinkedIn, and YouTube as Escuela del Sur. See you next time!